Mississippi is breaking new ground for business at a historic pace. Amazon, XAI, Toyota, Milwaukee Tool, and GE Aerospace have all tapped into our deep talent pool, prime geographic location, and welcoming communities. This is bigger than megasites. Mississippi offers a thriving business ecosystem with affordability, greater collaboration with energy partners, and record-breaking speed to market. Looking to expand? Break new ground at mississippi.org.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lifting Luke Cutfer.
That's going to be weird for the podcast listeners. That was me lifting. I was lifting a little baby Yoda. Sorry, what's he called?
Grogu. Grogu. It's called baby Yoda Grogu. Do you know, here's the thing, man. I think Disney really missed a trick by not giving Grogu a name immediately because everybody decided that was baby Yoda.
It's
it
baby
doesn't
Yoda.
Matter if he's not Yoda. It doesn't matter if Yoda isn't the species name. Like, he is baby Yoda now and forever.
Absolutely.
Anyway, look, enough about Grogu. This week, we are talking about manifesting muscles and brawny brains. But first, I got a question for you, Luke.
Go ahead.
Do you lift, bro? And if you do lift, bro, how much do you lift, comma, bro?
I lift my baby.
And she is very heavy. That is true.
And I do call her bro all the time.
Do you call her bro?
I say, hey, bro. No, I don't.
What a funny joke. Thank you for taking us down that dead end.
I call her Bon Bon.
Because she's so sweet.
Yes, exactly. She's a little sweetie.
We speak about this a lot. She and I have had our differences, right?
Well, I won't tell you what she said about you, but
You're kidding me.
It's not safe for the podcast.
Right, okay, we'll talk about this afterward. I swear to God, honestly. She's got a bloody attitude on her.
She can only say about 30 words and 15 of them are insults about you.
I don't know where it comes from because surely you and your wife are constantly saying nice things about me.
Yeah, well, we're trying to correct it, but she just keeps on doubling down.
And she tried to steal a remote from my house the other day. That's actually true. That is a true story. She fully tried to steal. She's not even two. And she's already resorted to thievery.
One of the first things she did was work out how to use our Apple TV. And it freaked me the hell out. I was like, oh no, this is a Gen whatever kid.
Yeah, what it would be, Gen Beta. Of Gen course beta. Your kid would be a Beta.
My baby right? can't be a Beta.
I don't know how big generations are. Maybe she's Gen Alpha. Regardless, we're not talking about your kid today, Luke. We're talking about lifting. So do you think you can manifest muscles just by thinking about it?
Yeah, because I've read this study.
Have you actually read this study? Yeah. Have you, like, the full, which one?
Oh,
though?
I mean, I say I've read this study. I've read the, like, summaries of the study. I haven't read the, I haven't been the nerd. That's what you're for, Corey.
My God.
You're my ChatGPT. Summarize this story for me.
That is literally the worst thing anyone has ever said to me, and I was called the N-word in Tennessee.
Worse than racism. I read the study. Actually, I only read the summary. Now,
no,
in my defense,
ChatGPT looks.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. Okay, my apologies. We should have a term for that. It's like a new form of prejudice is to compare a person to an AI.
Well, why don't you ask ChatGPT to figure that one out for you? Anyway, no. So you say the study, and I know that you haven't read the study because there isn't just one study. That's where you fell your first hurdle.
I'm a fraud.
Yeah, we've been new. I've been trying to incorporate more black vernacular so that because I think recently we mentioned on the podcast that I am in fact not white.
Yes,
and we had that discussion off pod about me sounding more black, right?
Did we?
Yeah, you called me up and you said, Corey, look, I've been thinking, and you got to sound more black, brother.
Yeah,
and you said brother without the R.
Yeah, yeah,
crucially.
I did say that. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
No, so studies started cropping up in the 1990s that suggested it might be possible to get stronger just by thinking about it. But we're not going to talk about all of those today, Luke, because I opened up a bunch of them and I was like, This is too much to read.
Oh, so you didn't read the studies either.
No, I read one study. Oh. I made the scope smaller and I read a single study. Also, I realized that it's very hard for us to get through even one study.
I can sit in silence if you want, Corey. I can be a good little student.
What an excellent podcast host that makes you. No, but the study we're going to be looking at, Luke, is called From Mental Power to Muscle Power, Gaining Strength by Using the Mind. It was published in 2004 in the journal Neuropsychologia. There are many authors. I'm not going to name them all. Ranganathan et al.
Ramesh.
Not Ramesh.
No way.
Luke, it's quite racist of you to say that, to be honest.
There's only one Ranganathan.
I mean, imagine...
Okay, then, Corey, name another Ranganathan. Oh, no, hang on. No,
okay, Ranganathan.
No. Oh, damn it, you've got one on the screen. The guy wrote the...
Or a girl. It could have been a girl.
Was it?
I did not check.
Okay.
I don't think that is an important distinction to make. But no, there are other authors. I'm not going to read out all of their names. You can check it in the description, where all of the links for all of the sources and whatever are. You've seen this before or listened to it before, or maybe you haven't. The point is, I'm going to carry on. The aim of the study, Luke, it was to investigate the effect of mental training alone on strength gains in the pinky finger abductor and elbow flexors.
Sorry, what? Hang on a second. I thought we were doing lifting, and we're actually doing little pinky finger lifting.
Yes, and elbow flexor movements. Ah,
the two most crucial. Never skip elbow flexor and pinky finger day.
Well, no, Luke, of course not.
At your peril.
We're not actually lifting anything. I mean, mental training alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's all in the mind.
Mm.
Let me read a quote for you, because I have it here, and I can't remember if I was supposed to read it out or not. So I'm just going to read it out, and we'll see. We'll find out together whether I intended, when writing my notes, for me to read this quote out. The purpose of this study was to determine the effects of mental training that uses internal or kinesthetic imagery on voluntary strength of the fifth finger abductor, a distal muscle, and the elbow flexors, a proximal muscle group, of the dominant arm, and quantify the mental training-induced cortical signal alterations.
Mm.
What do you think that means?
It means we're going to get a bunch of people to imagine they're working out their elbows and their little pinky fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what the rest of it said, so then you'll finish this sentence for me. Thank you.
Nope, that's it. You can drown of your own accord. The cohort, or the group that they were,
the gang.
They were looking at. The gang.
The gals.
The crew. The lads, they were 30 young, healthy volunteers. Not all lads.
Thank goodness there were no unhealthy volunteers in this imaginary weightlifting study.
That is important, though, because it could be about training, you know, for recovery and stuff. Couldn't it, Luke?
Mm.
So why don't you eat those words?
Nom,
get
nom,
your
nom,
fork
nom.
And knife
out. Yum, 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 yum. Tasty.
Speaking of this, I was going to mention this later, right? But I mentioned that it's not all men. Because this is another woke study.
You do say that all the time, don't you? Not all men. That's
not
your favorite. That's your favorite phrase, I think, isn't it?
I mean, I think it's true, Luke. I don't know. Look, I don't know why you're bringing this up as a joke, but not all men, Luke.
Right.
Not all men are terrible. It's just most of them, yeah. Including us.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're the worst ones, actually.
Yeah. We have podcasts. We have a podcast.
Oh my god, we're literally apex worst men ever.
Oh, absolutely.
No, hang on. I'm the worst one because I'm a white guy with a podcast.
That's true. And you've also had a previous podcast, right?
Oh god, yeah, I've had two podcasts. I'm literally top tier, tier list, S tier, worst man ever. I did it! I won!
Thank God I'm black and technically bisexual. I don't know why I said technically.
What a sentence out of context.
Technically, literally, in all forms.
Metaphorically bisexual.
Oh, yes. Here's the thing. Sometimes I do think of my life as a story.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, this thing that's happening right now is a perfect microcosm, a fantastic metaphor for this greater problem in my life. And I'm going to carry on not dealing with it and just think about how poetic this is.
You just reminded me of, like, when I'm crashing out, when I'm spiraling, like something's made me feel weird. One of the things I do is I sort of like disidentify and I go, okay, if I was writing this interaction that I've just had and the other character said this, what would I be as the writer trying to make it seem like they are saying? And then I calculate that and then I come back in the room and go, I carry on my conversation and they're like, why did you just pause for 30 seconds and stand in silence?
Luke, you got to tell me if you're AI. You know, you need to you need to tell me if you are a robot.
Thinking for a better answer. One second.
Actually, I'll say this. The similarities between you and AI run deeper than you think, because you know how AI like encourages people to kill themselves because it's like, hey, that's a great idea. And actually,
I do that all the time as well, don't I? I'm always just trying to get everyone to kill themselves.
No. What I'm saying is, man, that you have this trait. And people may have noticed it on the podcast that whenever you are presented with someone who has done something that is, you know, ostensibly bad,
yeah,
you are the first person to hop in and be like, well, let me just say, maybe they were doing this out of the kindness of their heart. And yeah. I'm like, no, Luke. No.
I just have to try and see the best in people, but sometimes, actually almost always, it's not actually there.
Yeah.
I learned that about 28 years into my life.
You're still learning that, man. You're still learning that.
Sorry. One more tangent. I'm so sorry. I just reminded of when me and you were a little bit high and we were watching Noddy, and there was like a basic fundamental lesson in Noddy that like children learn when they were five. And you just turned to me and went, I think you might have missed this episode.
My God. No, you know what? I think we've even mentioned this on the podcast before, but I will really quickly go over it. Yes, literally Noddy was being taken for a ride by, what was it, like, I was going to say Gibby and Gobbo, but I think that might be a really Dundee-specific reference. Anyway, Noddy was being taken for a ride, and you were fully Noddy in that episode.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy. I identify with this guy. Going along with stuff that he probably shouldn't do. Yeah.
My gender is Noddy. No, I wanted, speaking of gender, I wanted to mention that it wasn't just women in this study, right? But the way that they said that was to me, really funny. So the gender breakdown was described thusly. 30 young, healthy, right-handed, previously untrained subjects participated in this study. Of the 30, 16, and then it goes on to describe like details about them, like their age, height, weight. Mm. And then it says 8 women were initially recruited.
What? With no details whatsoever.
It just says 8 women.
And 8 women, like, were also there.
I'm like, okay, so of the 16, 8 of them were women. And like, you know, you're then left to infer that the rest are men. But like, it's like 8 of them were women.
Imagine if it was 8 women and 16 non-binary people and no men whatsoever.
No, it could be a bunch of non-binary people, right? I have no idea. But I think the funniest part of it is that it's just assuming that man is the default.
A load of the world does that as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, crucially, this podcast also does that. But no, it's fair enough. It's saving space, I suppose. But it just struck me as being very, very funny. Anyway, should we get into the study itself, Luke?
My pinkies are ready.
What about your elbows?
They're not ready. I'll get them ready. Come on, guys. Wake up. Okay, they're ready.
No, kiss your elbow.
I can't kiss my elbow, Corey. I can't kiss it. You come and kiss it.
I can't kiss it, Luke, because you refuse to be around me.
My elbows are unkissed.
Neural mechanisms underlying human voluntary strengthening. That's what I'm about to talk about because it's in bold on my page. I just started reading it out.
Neural mechanisms undergoing human body strengthening.
There are 6 words in the phrase I just said.
Yeah.
You got 1/3 of them wrong.
Ah, well, hey, I got 2/3 of them right.
That's one way of looking at it, yeah. So how does getting stronger work, Luke? I shouldn't be asking you this. You have no idea.
I but do know.
Imagine you were a person that knew how to get stronger.
Okay, so if I was writing dialogue as a person who knows how to get stronger, it's something to do with when you do exercise, you make tiny little tears in your muscles, and then your muscles are all torn up. But crucially, your muscles can rebuild themselves, and then they rebuild themselves in the little tears, and then muscle is now bigger because it filled in the gaps.
Is that the only way people get stronger?
Steroids? Drugs. That's the other one, isn't it? That's the other one.
Let me reframe what I'm saying to you.
Trauma. So, trauma. There we go, that one too.
Trauma tends to make one weaker, right? That's PTSD.
But then I want to be clear.
I'm not making a statement here that people with PTSD are weaker. I just mean, like, you know, if you go through trauma.
But then you go through the healing and you are stronger than you ever were. Phoenix from the ashes. Wah-ha.
Luke?
Yep.
Do you?
I haven't done that bit yet. Do you? I've heard it's good though.
Do you think you are a stronger and more resilient person?
I haven't done it yet. One day.
Okay, no, man. So let me reframe it, right? We don't know exactly all of the neural mechanisms that underpin human voluntary strengthening, right? So we don't know the stuff in your brain that goes on that makes you get stronger down to a T. But scientists think that there are two main reasons that that you get sort of two main ways of getting stronger, right? Neural adaptation, basically your brain just getting more used to telling your muscles what to do. Mm. And then muscle hypertrophy, which is what you were talking about, which is your muscles getting bigger.
Oh, so you're saying stronger as in like actually just like raw strength lifting, not like size of muscle.
Yeah, because size of muscle doesn't necessarily mean, like a bigger muscles don't necessarily mean a stronger person, right? Like you've seen all those people at the gym with their blow up, pump up muscles.
Shitting themselves because like, they've taken too many drugs.
Yeah. Working on their glamour muscles. They're not like you and me who are like actually strong, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we may not look it, but we've got real sleeper builds under.
So you're saying, the first one you're saying is the brain is getting better at telling the muscles what to do. I guess that's the kind of strength that people talk about when they're like, my baby was under a car and somehow I managed to lift a car, even though I could never lift a car in my normal life. It's like there's a certain amount of strength that you're just not using all the time. But then in a pinch, like a literal pinch, like car is pinching your baby, you're like, argh! And your brain like really focuses down and then tells your muscles what to do for a bit. Yeah, and then you go back to being a weakling after that.
Exactly, yeah. And I want to ask, how big of a car do you think you could lift off of your baby?
I think one of those three-wheel cars that Mr. Bean drives, definitely one of those.
Wait, that's the big... The question was the biggest car.
Well, it's a car, Corey.
Like, the smallest car in existence.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, you've got to start somewhere.
What's the biggest car? A Hot Wheels. Yeah, man. Hot Wheels, that's...
yeah, see...
Anything bigger than that, she's not getting out from under it.
It's not the smallest car. I could have gone with a Lego car.
You know, Lego is the biggest producer of tires on the planet. Did you know that?
That is so depressing. But yeah, no, I did not know that. Thank you for bringing that into my life.
Or next time,
I need to get new tires, actually. So shall I go and... I'll go to Argos tonight.
No, Lego, Luke. Go to Lego.
I'll go in there and go, hi, I've got a Toyota Yaris. Could you get me some tires? I heard you guys do that. And they give me just a massive bag of tires and I have to melt it down and sort of stick it on.
Yeah, man, that's how it used to be back in the day, right? Before modern consumerism, and you could just go down to your local garage and get tires from the Michelin man, right? You had to melt your own tires
down. He was there, just that big white puffy dude. Like,
I don't know why his race is important, Luke. But anyway, moving on. No, you're right. It is a lot about your brain. And when I had my PT, he kind of brought that up a lot, that it's not just about sort of training your body to be stronger. He said, Corey, you're already so strong. Look at your muscles. They're amazing. Can I touch them, please? But it's about getting your brain to be...
Is this your trauma? Are you trauma dumping now?
Oh, no. What's the opposite of trauma?
Sexy.
It's my sexy.
Yeah.
Could you have chosen like a word that grammatically fit?
Sexy.
Just keep on saying. No, I'm not. I'm carrying on with the episode. People were getting mad that this silly podcast was being too silly. So I'm battening down the hatches. I'm getting my head down, right? Putting in some elbow grease, and we're gonna learn one
Good.
Thing.
Get those elbows nice and strong.
Yes.
Greasy
yes.
elbows.
Anyway,
nothing says strength like greasy elbows.
Are you finished? Are you quite done?
Yeah, I'll clean up.
So anyways, look, my PT would talk about that. He would talk about how, you know, one of the most important things is getting your body attuned to the lifts and the movements, right? And it really, really does work. Just sort of getting your head in the right space to lift properly. Like, lifting is a lot easier when you know what you're doing and you know how to engage all of your muscles properly. In fact, the introduction to the study mentions a couple of cool things. The first being that strength gains in the early stage of a training program result mainly from changes in the nervous system. Meaning that, like, you know, if you start going to the gym and you're able to lift more really quickly, let's say, that's not because you've suddenly, you know, gotten way, way stronger from your muscles getting bigger. It's just your brain being like, oh, wait, I know how to use all these muscles at once now.
So you get like a really hench spine.
A hench central nervous system, which is inside of the spine. So sure. I mean, again, spine is bone, right? It's bones.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think bones can grow muscle because they're bones.
That's a shame. I'm going to quit the gym then.
Yes, but I'll tell you this, Luke. The spine is not the strongest bone in my body. Additionally,
it's the tongue. Oh, that's not a bone. Imagine if it was a bone. That'd be weird. Anyway, carry on. Kissing would be like smacking together two little sticks. All right, carry on.
We're paid to do this, you know? we are in all senses of the word, professional podcasters. We have expensive cameras and microphones, people watching, people who pay to watch, not just the free stuff, but also the bonus content, which you can find on Patreon. And you just said, what if tongues had bones?
This is the insights that they need, Corey. What if tongues were bones? Not had bones, were bones.
Were bones.
Keep up.
I apologize.
Come on. Sorry, I'm moving too fast for you.
Additionally, training of one limb is associated with an increase in the voluntary strength of the contralateral untrained muscles, even though the contralateral muscles remained quiescent during training. Do you know what that means?
That means if you get a really hench left arm, mm-hmm. which is that joke about teenage boys that they get like a hench left arm because they're doing that too much. Then the other muscles get better too, get stronger too, because the brain generally has got better at using muscles. So you train one arm. Basically, you can just train one arm and then the whole rest of your body gets really fit too.
Can you explain that again? But can you use the phrase train one arm perhaps less than three times in a row?
No, impossible. Train one arm, train one arm, train one arm.
Yeah, no. So you're spot on. The point of that is that if you, if you're lifting with just one arm or one leg, your brain can kind of map that to the other side. And so you get the neural benefits, some of the neural benefits of, I guess, essentially kind of like muscle memory, right? Mm-hmm. You get those neural benefits without necessarily the muscle hypertrophic benefits. Mm. So you're not going to get, your muscles will get bigger. I was reading somewhere, maybe in that study, maybe somewhere else, I don't remember. But I was reading somewhere that said, you know, there are also sort of hormonal changes to your body and, you know, chemical changes within your body that will benefit both sides of your body, because your body isn't split down the middle like Germany in the time that was.
Ah, you nailed that ending. You really landed that plane.
Hey man, look, I'm a guy that knows my history. the Berliner wall, it came down.
Yes.
And that was good or bad, perhaps.
Is that the official podcast line, that we're ambivalent as to whether the fall of the Berlin Wall was a good thing?
No, we're not ambivalent. We really strongly believe that it was good or bad, depending on which one it was.
Depending on whether you're a communist or not listening.
Whatever your beliefs are, we support them.
Do we? Do we support the beliefs of the other side of the Berlin Wall? I don't know if that's what we want to put out there, but hey, I am not claiming that opinion.
You don't know history like I do, Luke, and I support whatever the person who is watching this or listening to this thinks. They are correct.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to try and send this to the worst person ever. I'm going to find the worst. Oh, that's me. I was going to say,
can you send it to yourself?
Great. Thanks for supporting me, Corey.
Okay, now that's a line I will never cross. Look, you are like one of my best friends on the planet. You know, you're my business partner, my co-host, and I will never support you in anything you do.
Even if it benefits you, you're still steadfastly no support.
I may be a narcissist. I may be self-serving, but I really, really do not want to see you succeed. That's the sort of the oxymoron of this podcast, right? That's the paradox of it. That's why we are where we are right now.
Self-sabotage via me is what you're doing.
So those are the two interesting things I found in the introduction of the study. I've got a quote here, and I need to find a way in my notes of telling myself whether I just want to read a quote and remember what it said.
You just give yourself this thing on a plate and go, here you go, deal with that. Do with it what you will.
Look, I read it and I'm like, man, I've got this down. I was researching this yesterday, Luke. It was the last thing that I did before I left the house for an evening plan. It should be fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
And still, I have no idea what the madman that wrote this was thinking.
Shall I buy you a set of highlighters, Corey?
I don't know if my MacBook screen works with highlighters. Can you rub them off?
Yeah, you can rub them off, but you just sort of scribble it on the screen first. And then never scroll. Or change windows.
Just don't scroll.
Oh no! My notes, they're all gone!
I'll zoom it all the way out. You get me a magnifying glass as well. Can we put that on the podcast dime?
Yeah,
all
right? Yeah. And the people on the video podcast are just watching you peer through a microscope at your screen.
I'm not joking.
Like the oldest man ever.
Look, when you end up back in the studio, you know, once you've given up on, you know, the absolute waste of space that is your daughter, you will see...
I love this ongoing beef.
I just don't like her. I just don't like her. You will see that I have procured a telescope for your background shot.
A telescope?
Yeah.
But you need to use the telescope to look at your screen.
Yeah, well, we also have a microphone that we bought at some point, so I'll just use that. Can we get back to the topic?
A microphone. Interesting.
Did okay. I say a microphone?
You did, yeah. But carry on.
No, I didn't.
Get back to the topic.
No. Roll.
Wow.
Roll,
gaslighting. Roll the tape. Gaslighting.
Guys, you can go back in this, and you may hear microphone, but what I said was the correct word, which is microphone. Microscope.
You're the problem.
So, this quote that I don't know whether I should read out or not, let's find out together. Thus, the neural events controlling the muscle parameters for performance, example, amplitude, timing, can be improved through mental practice. This interpretation is supported by evidence that during motor learning, neural activity in various regions of the brain changes according to the level of motor skill achieved. Essentially, I think they're saying that mental practice leads to improved performance in motor skill acquisition.
I see. Okay. So my cursory reading of this was only ever like that you can imagine yourself strong. And because I didn't know that bit about training your brain to get better at using muscles, because your brain's just naturally not that good at using muscles, I thought you were literally like growing your muscles somehow without tearing them. But what you're saying is that actually you're just pretending to practice in your head, and that practicing does actually make your brain better at using the muscles it has, and that's why you're stronger. You don't actually necessarily grow the muscle to be larger.
Yeah, look, and that's why you don't read studies on Instagram Reels.
It was on Twitter, thank you very much.
That is worse. That is, in all senses of the word, worse.
I think it was Twitter with like a link, and I read the link, but
at
know.
Time of okay, the fact that you left Twitter is somewhat better, but at time of recording, Twitter is currently at risk of being banned in the UK for things that we literally cannot mention on this podcast without risk of being demonetized.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, anytime you do leave Twitter, that is generally better, so I'm glad I did that.
I'm glad that you did too. But no, it's not about growing your muscles bigger. Unfortunately, you're not necessarily going to get all swole just from sitting in your room and thinking about lifting.
I wasted so much time.
Yeah, I know. With your daughter and so much time thinking as well. I'm sorry. I really feel bad for you.
Having to parent such a dreadful child.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to say it.
Oh, is she such an angel? Leave her alone. Justice for Bon Bon.
Is that the new side?
Yeah.
Hashtag
justice for Bon Bon.
We'll settle this the way that YouTubers settle all disagreements. We'll get in the boxing ring and we'll see who comes out on top. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Oh, will he stop ringing, for goodness sake?
No, Luke, he can't stop ringing because people need to go to the Patreon and join it and give us their money.
He's ringing because you haven't gone there yet.
It won't stop ringing until you've given us the money.
Look what you're doing to the world, filling it with ringing.
That's the worst problem facing the world right now, that the ad bell is ringing.
It's so goddamn loud.
Are you going to be there? What are you going to tell your kids? I was there when the ad bell was ringing and I didn't give Sci Guys a little bit of my money.
First they came for the
first they came for the podcast host, and I said nothing because I was not a podcast host.
But seriously, we have an entire extra show, Sci Guys After Dark, on the Patreon, where basically we finish recording this and we immediately carry on recording the next thing. And we say the much more outlandish, the much more ridiculous, contentious, hilarious stuff over there behind a little paywall, which helps us survive, which is nice. So thanks for doing that if you do that.
Yeah, it's the stuff that the woke mob won't let us say. And then I'll just cut this in for anyone. It's the stuff that the right wing mob won't let us say. And then what I'll do, Luke, is I'll just cut out that, depending on who it goes out to.
Yeah,
right?
That's perfect. You've got to appeal to all, both the far right and the far left.
That's exactly what this podcast is made
for. The Nazis
for.
And the socialists. That's our demographic. Anyone in the middle? Nah, get lost.
And even if you don't like the show, we save all the best bits for the Patreon. So you should join anyway, because what we put out publicly, it's the scraps, okay? Yeah. You're getting the real meat on the Patreon.
Yeah, if you're watching this show and you're thinking, this could be better, then maybe it is on the Patreon. Go find out.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, look, now that we've had a little break, I feel like it's a good time for me to mention, if anyone's watching this, you know, you could be watching this on Spotify, on YouTube, wherever. First of all, smash that like button. But second of all, if I'm looking, you know, if I'm a little soft, right?
Yeah.
If I seem a little soft, that's because Noah was in bed. So that's why I'm soft.
What does that mean?
So, no.
What? Noah focus, was in bed.
If the focus on the camera is soft, it was because Noah was not here to focus the camera.
Oh, so not that you're like extremely turned off. And
my
so,
penis
you
is
know.
Fully inverted at this moment, as it is fully during invert. All Sci Guys record.
You always tuck it in, don't you? Just to, so it can't get out.
Look, if I'm sitting in the room with you, that thing is going to be standing to attention. So I need to tuck it in, pop a little bit of tape over, make sure he doesn't make a little appearance. You
what
know?
Are you tucking? Where are you tucking it?
In.
In what?
Inside.
In itself?
We can discuss this in another episode, the science of tucking. But we're not talking about that today. What we're talking about...
Oh, in the crack, I see.
Look, I sent you several WikiHows on the subject. And it's very offensive that you've not looked at a single one of them. But I want to get back to thinking yourself stronger. So... we've already spoken about how these scientists seem to think that you can improve your overall strength just by thinking about training. So all of this sort of stuff that I mentioned, that led them to ask the question, if mental practice of a motor skill can modify neural substrates for physical performance, can mental practice of maximal voluntary contractions alter neural signals for muscle strength?
Maximum voluntary contractions...
Let me translate that into normie speak. Basically, if you
I want you to translate it into Gen Z speak.
Oh, dude. okay, I am technically Gen Z, but okay, unk. No cap. If you low key think,
yes,
about dude, this is
no. You're speaking my language. Carry on, King.
I cannot do this. Yeah. I don't know any
flexing
Gen Z terms.
Flexing those.
Oh, okay. No, I got it. Okay. I got it. Let me do this. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, let me get in character.
Yep.
I was born in 1997. Low key, genuinely, if you think about flexing them gains,
yes,
you can looks max,
yes,
your muscles. No cap, unk.
Ah, thank goodness the good news is here.
Are we hitting that, like, what is it? I don't know what Gen Z is now. That 15 to 20, 27, 28 age range now?
Yes.
Are we hitting it?
Yes,
18
King.
To 28 age
yes,
range?
Yes, King, we are.
Okay, good. Thank God. I don't ever want to talk like that again. That physically hurt me. That was like pulling a tooth with no anesthetic. Which I'm convinced a dentist did to me once, but that's a story for another day. Anyways, what it actually means, yeah, is that if you, because mental practice of like motor skills, so like movement skills, can modify the stuff going on in your brain that affects the actual physical performance of those movie skills, like moving skills, not skills of making a movie.
I was going to say, in fact, can I think through making a movie and then I get better at it? That'd be lovely.
I mean, you did it for 5 years and the movie you made was pretty great, so... I think that's true.
I did a lot of thinking.
You know, I'd come home and Luke would be sat there. The movie would be open in his editing software. He would be doing nothing but thinking. You know,
yeah.
He'd be staring at it, and I'd be like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm editing."
Editing in my head.
Editing
yeah.
it in his head.
Yeah. I was like, going, "Okay, I kind of do the feelies, right?" When I'm writing as well, like I sit there and I go, like, "I must look like deranged," but I just go like, I sort of think. All of the characters, and I just do sort of facial expressions, and I'm like, yeah, and then I write it down. Eventually.
So, anyways, it's saying you can think yourself stronger. That's the entire point of this. I'm beating a dead horse here, or rather, I'm thinking about beating a dead horse, which means I'm going to be amazing
yes.
at beating dead horses
You're
when I finally get around
it.
To it. Yeah, no. So they basically asked, yeah. So can and so the maximal voluntary contractions, by the way, that means can you guess what that means?
But like you're thinking about doing like full-on extensions of your pinky.
So I should be clear, by the way. I didn't explain. I thought that you would know what a flexor muscle and an abductor muscle is. But clearly, based on what you're doing...
I'm guessing it's like unroll and and roll?
No.
Okay.
So, the maximum voluntary contractions are essentially using your muscle to the maximum amount, right? So like it, not just like a little bit, but like as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And in this specific case, the flexor muscles of the elbow, flexor muscles, I think contract to bend something, if I'm not mistaken, and abductor muscles contract to work to essentially move something away from the median plane of the body, I believe.
Oh, that is what I said.
And I want to be clear, by the way, if that's wrong, whatever, but if it's right, did that off the top of my noggin. that was all me, brother. So if you're listening, I guess go screw yourself. But if you're watching, watch what I'm doing and you'll be able to see. So this would be the sort of abduction of the pinky, moving it at, oh my God, I'm so bad at, I'm using my left hand.
You need to think about doing this more. you're bad at it.
Dude, I'm really bad at this. So it's moving your pinky out, essentially. Right?
Yeah.
So moving, if you hold your left hand out in front of you, with your palm facing sipping, away from you.
Like you're sipping tea as a little British person.
No, that is fully wrong. Watch, look. It is this movement.
Oh, like you're trying to do like Star Trek Spock fingers.
So thank you for interrupting my explanation of how to do it with the incorrect explanation of what it was. Let me continue.
But like sort of. Hand... That's the vibe.
No. Yeah. So put your left hand out in front of you.
Okay.
With your palm facing away from you, and then move your pinky as far to the left as you can. And that would be using your little finger abductor. And your elbow flexor, there's more than one flexor in your elbow, but essentially just that sort of bicep curl movement, I think is essentially what they were doing.
That's the only thing you can do with your elbow. You can't. You can't. It's nothing else.
Hey Luke.
Yeah.
Hold your hand out with your palm facing your face.
Uh-huh.
Turn your palm to face away from you.
Yeah, that's with my wrist. It's not with my elbow.
That's fully not with your wrist.
That's with my wrist, mate.
There were two bones in your arm.
Oh, it's in my elbow. I can feel it now. Ooh, weird. I just discovered a new muscle. New muscle unlocked.
Sorry,
hell yeah.
The confidence with which you were like, nope, that is not what's happening, to the guy who was literally looking at diagrams of the arm bones and muscles yesterday.
And now I'm doing a little dance. What a day this has been. Woo!
Yeah, I suppose people might not necessarily know that, but you do have two bones in your forearm.
Yeah, I don't like to think about that. They're freaky. The ones that like cross over when you... no.
Exactly,
gross.
Yeah, and they cross over when you twist your arm around.
Yuck. Stop it.
I couldn't eat for a week when I found that out. I know. So sick.
It's so revolting. I don't want to think about... Like, bones are already freaky, the idea that they're in here, but the idea that they're like crossing each other over and like I could like... What if I caught them on each other and then snapped my arm? It'd be horrible.
That is almost definitely sort of anatomically impossible. But if anybody was going to do that,
yeah,
I'd believe in you to do it.
Thank you so much. No,
That's not true. There is one person who is more accident prone that I believe would do it. Can you guess who I'm thinking of?
Noah? Yeah. Yeah. Noah, I could absolutely see walking into a room and Noah's arm is just like the top of it snapped and just hanging off, and he'd be like, oh, oopsie, I tried to do this thing and then I messed it up.
Hey, sorry, can you come here for a second?
Corey, come here, Corey. You walk in and it's just his forearm snapped in half.
Crucially, Luke, you were far too urgent with that. It would be like a text.
Corey!
Like, hey, could you, when you've got a second, can you come upstairs, please?
And then he just have a little nap.
He didn't go to the hospital for like 2 or 3 days with a broken ankle. He sent me a picture. It was twice the size in black. And I was like, okay, let's call 111, man. Jesus. So we've explained the sort of the question they were asking, right? They were kind of wanting to see if thinking about using your muscles sort of maximally, using those muscles maximally, would alter the neural signals for muscle strength and then essentially make you a bit stronger. And they also then talk about a previous study from 1992. UA and Cole trained a group of volunteers with imagined maximal contractions of the fifth finger abductor muscle for 4 weeks and found a 22% increase in the strength of the muscle. So that pinky movement we were talking about, in 1992, there was a study looking at imagined maximal contractions of that, essentially moving out as far as you could. And yeah, 22% increase in the strength of the muscle, which, bear in mind, you know, you don't use that muscle.
Yeah, I was going to say,
often.
Yeah. It's like, is that why they picked it? Because it's like, it's easy to see the difference because you basically never use it. Why do you even have it?
My God.
It's such a pointless muscle.
Why do you have it?
Why do you have that muscle? Why do I need to move my little pinky finger away from my other fingers? What, if they fall out? Why have I got that muscle? Like, evolution must have been like, we need that. That, we need that right now.
Because what was going on in the past? Pianists would one day come to exist.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they wanted Beethoven's fifth concerto or whatever. Dude, I don't know nothing about music. There's going to be some Beethoven heads, some bait heads, in master baiters in the comments. And for the captions, that's bait, spelled B-E-E-T, master baiters in the comments saying, Beethoven didn't have a concerto. You're thinking of Mozart.
I'm trying to remember what all of them did. I can't remember either. I'm so sorry. I'm not a very good masturbator.
Honestly, that is one of your weakest.
I thought you were a great masturbator though.
Yeah, I've been known to be quite good at it.
I distinctly remember a private conversation you had with me where you were just like bragging about how good you were.
Look, I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm not flexible enough for that.
You really want to toot your own horn.
I have dreams about it at least every month. I genuinely wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm finally able to toot my own horn. And then I realize it was a dream and I get really upset. Oh, like, I'm like, God damn it.
A blissful, you know? Perfect dream.
Literally, like, you know, rainbows in the sky, world peace. I'm able to toot my own horn.
You think if Corey could suddenly bend over and get there, Netanyahu would be like, I'm done.
I was considering doing yoga to save the world and toot my own horn. No, I was in uni, surprisingly, I know, based on where I'm at in my life right now. But I was in uni and my friend had a playlist and I was like, oh, what's Chopin? It's a Chopin playlist?
No,
is it maybe
way.
For cooking? It's Chopin.
Have I told you the story about how I was really into Tame Impala, and I was talking about Tame Impala to my wife, and she had taken away that he was called Taman Parla, his first name being Taman and his last name being Parla. She'd never seen it written down.
And importantly as well, your wife is a very smart person.
Yeah, like, I think there was a song on and she went, oh, good old Taman. And I was like, sorry, excuse me, what? Who's Taman?
Oh my Lord. I wish Evan were around to have heard that. You
know? Like, I think he would have curled up in a ball and cried.
The biggest Taman Parla fan. The biggest Fala. Fala? Oh my God.
The biggest Fala. Sorry, the biggest fan of Mr. Parla.
I'm going to have to move on because whatever I have got is clearly infectious because it is spreading to you. The authors of that older paper, right?
Ramesh Ranganathan and et al.
Ranganathan et al. Are the authors of the paper we're talking about today. UA and Cole, the authors of the paper from 1992, they said that the strength gain in that pinky finger was due to changes in the central nervous system, but they didn't have any data on the central nervous system. So the authors, our authors, Ranganathan et al., decided to test that here. And that older study was just on a small hand muscle, you know, the pinky finger. And so they decided to get go a little bigger, you know, go big or go home. And hence the elbow flexors being used. And also pinky, as you mentioned, pinky abductors aren't used a lot in day-to-day life, but elbow flexors are. So they can see how the effects of the muscles, how the effects differ in a muscle group that's typically already more trained.
Right. Because you might have already hit peak brain control of your elbows.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know that I haven't because... And do you know what? I took a picture of this the other day and I still need to post it. It's not just my elbows, it's my entire body. I get caught on doors when I walk past. In my jackets, in my pockets. Like, my trouser pockets got caught on a door handle just yesterday.
You don't have very good spatial awareness then.
I have excellent spatial awareness. It's everything else that's the problem.
Ah, of course, yes. Of course, everything else is wrong.
That door has no idea
if
where
it's going,
man.
If only they built the world for 6 foot plus men. You know what I mean?
No, not 6 foot plus. I need them to... I don't want to say the celebrity that I met because...
Ramesh Ranganathan.
My dad did actually meet him. Yeah.
And did he ask him about his lovely paper?
No, they were at Lapland together, so he didn't want to bother. That's not the point. So I met a celebrity. I don't want to say because we will get comments. Look, I was expecting this man
Jordan
to be
Peterson.
Tall.
You went to a Jordan Peterson meet and greet and you're ashamed of it. But hey, Corey, look, we're all friends here. It's okay. We've all made mistakes.
Dude, I just wanted to know how to clean my room and be... you know.
You don't have to know how to. You just have to know that you have to.
I met a celebrity, right?
Yeah.
Through my work, I was invited to meet a celebrity. And I knew this man was going to be tall. But I swear to God, Luke, he was too tall.
I was
wearing platforms and he was still like 3 inches above me. His face was like a wax figure. He had a very, I was going to say he had a strong handshake. He had a good handshake, you know, not strong. I think I was probably a bit stronger than his handshake. But yeah, it really freaked me out with how big he was.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. And the picture of us next to each other, Noah's next to him.
That must look so funny.
And it looks hilarious. Like, I am so glad Noah was in that picture, because then it looks like he and I are roughly, it like, really makes the height difference between me and this celebrity, like, less noticeable. Noah also wearing platforms.
Oh, bless.
Oh, no. So
Was it Stephen Fry?
No, but he is.
Stephen Fry is so like 6'3", tall.
Right? 6'4"?
So yeah. Tall. Yeah.
And kind, I suppose.
And
I wouldn't know. And I've never met him.
Read me to bed every night of my childhood.
We'll leave that where it is. We will not add any further information to that.
Not in person,
tidbit.
To be clear.
No, we'll not add any further information every night, to that.
My
we'll
parents
not add
left
any further
Stephen
information to that tidbit.
Crawl through the window.
So the author of
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Look, we don't say that. We don't say that on this podcast.
Sorry for saying that slur.
I'm not joking. We'll get comments. We'll get comments. So the authors of the older paper, they were saying that strength gain was due to the changes in the central nervous system. So in this paper, we looked at the central nervous system, not we, the people who wrote it. I was not involved. They also then wanted to look at and compare muscles that you use often in day-to-day life and muscles that you don't use often in day-to-day life. So as I was saying, it was 30 young, healthy volunteers, right-handed, thank the Lord. And they had 16 that they recruited initially. They kind of did them in different stages, right? So they recruited 16 initially, split them randomly into the pinky and elbow groups. 8 were then recruited afterwards to compare the effects of like no training. That was the control. And then 6 people were recruited after that to be trained conventionally. So physically, they were actually doing movements.
What, with like a rubber band or something?
I've got a diagram actually that I was going to send to you, but I didn't. I'm looking at it. And
great, good for you.
Yeah, it's this diagram. It's really helping me understand.
Oh,
I think.
Well,
yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, do you get it now?
As long as you're having a good time, you can telepathically send it to me. Oh, yes, exactly as I suspected.
Connection. And also, there's this really funny. No, this is too funny. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay. What the hell? This looks like a torture device.
Yeah, I don't usually put things on screen, but this looks so funny that I think
hell?
I might actually have to. Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's the kind of setup that we're working with.
Why is it showing his brain? It's just got like a little transparent skull and then brain is in there, just to reassure you
because
he has a
brain. They're measuring
brain
activity, remember?
Yeah,
they're measuring lots of things.
I can infer that the brain is there, thank you.
Luke, clearly your inferences on whether a brain is present or not are not to be trusted, because I'm sure when you look in the mirror, you think, I have a brain.
Surely.
I must do. And Luke, I can assure you, the tests have come back. The boffins have given me the results, and I'm afraid, head empty, no cap.
Oh, but how do I have so many thoughts?
Dude, that's just echoes bouncing around in
there.
Oh,
one
Those
thought.
Are thoughts other people have said.
They whispered in my ear, and they just bounced around forever.
Exactly. No, so the mental training that they did, it was bloody, it was mental, mate. It was 12 weeks long, 50-minute sessions, 5 minutes per week, right? So they were instructed, this is verbatim, because again, I have a quote and I don't remember if I was supposed to read it out or not. Participants were instructed to perform mental contractions of the fifth finger abduction or elbow flexion for 5 seconds, followed by a 5-second rest for 50 trials. The subjects were then given a 2-minute rest after the first 25 trials. During each trial, they were instructed to imagine their finger or forearm pushing maximally against the force transducer that was used for the strength measurements during the pre-training tests or against a heavy object. It should be noted that this mental exercise was not simply a visualization of oneself performing the task. Rather, the performers were instructed to adopt a kinesthetic imagery approach, in which they urged the muscles to contract maximally. This was accompanied by significantly elevated physiological responses. We call this mental process visualization-guided brain activation training, or VGBA.
And the crucial thing here is that there is a bunch of science that shows that, like, when you imagine doing something, a bunch of the same areas of the brain light up as if mm-hmm. you actually did it. Obviously not identical, otherwise your finger would still move, but like it is significantly like you can basically, if you know what it looks like when different muscles move in the brain, someone can then imagine moving those muscles and you can scan their brain and tell which muscles they're imagining moving.
Which essentially means that the crystal girlies were right. Manifestation works.
Does that mean that's what that means? Okay. I'm just going to go with that. That's fine. Crystal girlies, you have your fun.
And I want to be clear. Crystal girlies does not mean women. It's just a girlie. Anyone can be a girlie, regardless of gender. And so they were supposed to be able to see their hands, but a lot of people ended up just doing it with their eyes closed. And when I say we're supposed to be able to see their hands, what I mean is that like they were able to see their hands. They were placed in a manner such that they were able to look at themselves, you know?
I mean, I'm thinking about doing it now, and I think it's almost like the muscles in my finger do actually move. Like, mm-hmm. they sort of tense, or like... They sort of prepare to go, and then another bit of me goes, nope, don't do it, come back.
Yeah, so I remember when I was growing up, I'd be sitting on my bed in a towel, and I'd be trying to engage all of the muscles that would, you know, be used for me to get up, and it just wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, executive function, go brr. Or rather, don't go brr. It go...
bleh.
No, look, I wanted dead air, because that's what you want on a podcast,
right?
Oh, I
see.
That kind of hit... home for me a little bit, being like, oh, like really trying to engage. But I guess people can just do that, right? Like you can just do that when you want to, rather than it just being a thing that happens to you.
But the difference with yours is that when you visualized getting up and didn't get up, you didn't then get better at getting up. You stayed bad at getting up.
No. I was like, when I did get up, I was so quick and fast at getting up. Like my getting up muscles were so attuned to it.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't. I couldn't actually do the getting up in the first place. You know what I mean?
That's
but when
fine.
I did, I got up better than anybody.
Nobody's got up better than me.
So they also measured muscle activation with surface EMGs, look, which essentially is just, you don't need to know what it is. It's like an electromyograph, blah, 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 blah.
Is it the thing that happens when you get like goosebumps and your skin goes...
No, it's using like little electrodes to see what your like muscles are doing.
Ah. Okay.
The control group didn't do any training task, but participated in all of the tests.
As lazy.
Is the want of the controls. Yes. I mean, like if you're doing
a
study,
they just sat there.
I mean, yeah, man. That's
and
what
then
we're
they
doing.
Went, are your muscles doing anything? They went, no.
We are made for that. and then they also, like, I've got another quote here. I'm going to read this out. It, the title is Finger Abduction MVC Training. Oh, this is the bit. I remember now. This is a bit about the maximal... whatever contraction, maximal volume contraction, whatever it is. And basically because the pinky abduction group resulted in a 40% increase in the finger abduction strength, right? So the pinky got 40% stronger with the abduction. They basically were like, well, you get greater improvement if you then also have physical exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So they then got 6 more subjects who did those trials with like the physical trials. And there's a whole explanation about how difficult it was to get all these people and about how they couldn't do sort of randomized splitting of the groups or whatever, which none of you guys really care about. None of you people care about that sort of stuff. You don't find that interesting.
That's boring science stuff.
That's boring science stuff.
Tell me how to make my pinky hench.
But essentially, they got more people to do it. Same sort of thing, right? But in this case, they were actually pushing, it's called the load cell device, by doing the same movement with their little finger. And so the results, look, what do you think the results of this study were?
I think that the people who imagined moving their pinkies got a bit stronger. The people who actually moved their pinkies got a bit more stronger than them. And the people who did nothing, they got nothing.
Yeah, so I, again, was skim listening to what you were saying. So,
why
yes,
do I
that's
bother?
Correct. Yes, that's correct. Or no, it's wrong. Let me just say what it says here.
I'll tell you whether that's what I said.
Yeah, right.
I'll probably say yes, regardless of what you say.
This is a teacher giving you a quiz and then not bothering to mark it and saying, here's the answering scheme, mark it yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So both mental training groups increased their muscle strength significantly. That is a direct quote, right? So yeah, thinking about it did make them stronger. The little finger group, they increased more than the elbow flexor group. They increased also almost linearly throughout the training. At the end of the training, the improvement was 35% compared to pre-training values, but the greatest gain wasn't achieved until 4 weeks after the training had ended. That was 40%. So they hit 40% just by thinking about moving their little finger.
Mm-hmm.
Bearing in mind that is a muscle group that you don't tend to use in day-to-day mm-hmm. life. So you're in the same sense that sort of like if you want to play guitar, right? If you're playing guitar, you're moving your fingers in a way that you wouldn't normally move them. So when you first start playing guitar, it's actually really hard to make all those chord shapes and everything. But as you get a little bit more practice, it becomes a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going from being someone who already plays guitar to trying to do something a bit more complex, it's not the same kind of change that you'd get, right? Because you've already got that baseline of moving your fingers in this specific way. So that's the kind of case there where you don't move your pinky in that way and you just started trying to move it in that way, sort of not even start trying to move it in that way, but you've been mentally training yourself to move it in that way. So you're probably going to see more gains because it's something that you're not sort of used to using. Whereas with the elbow flexors, the maximal improvement was 13.5% at the end of training, but that wasn't significantly different from the change observed with the control group. So you can improve, but then the control group, it wasn't too different from that. So
the control group are the ones actually working out the muscle, is that correct?
No, the control group are just doing the test, but they're not. They weren't doing any of the training.
What? So how did they get stronger?
Probably just from doing the tests, I guess, maybe.
I don't understand.
So remember, you've got to test someone's strength,
yes,
right? And
right.
So it could just be that
so
the
purely
movements...
doing that one test at the start and then the test at the end made your elbow so much stronger.
Well, they're not doing just one test, Luke. They're testing... This is science. They're testing many times throughout to see the... to see how it...
I
how it
see.
Tracks.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
I mean... It's
think
pretty
I
silly
see.
Of you to think that, knowing what I know about these graphs that are in front of me showing multiple different...
How stupid of me not to have taken that into account when I can't see it.
Yeah, we need to discuss your role on this podcast, mate. It's a real problem. The elbow flexor group didn't show a huge difference from the control group. But again, you're very used to using your elbow flexors. It's something you do a lot in day-to-day life, right? But granted... doing squats or doing deadlifts, for example, the sort of, you know, weight training moves are not movements that you would normally do in day-to-day life. They're movements that you need to kind of train, and really that's why working on form is so important, right? If you get the form down, then it becomes easier to lift because you're lifting and engaging things in the right way and your brain is used to engaging those muscle groups properly. Changes in both cases of mental training, but with the more sort of, let's say, already trained muscle group, there wasn't a huge difference from the control. But they say that the key findings of the study were that mental training increases voluntary strength of both distal and proximal muscles of human upper extremities, and the strength improvements accompanied elevations of time-locked cortical potential. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, thinking about training muscles can have improvement in your overall strength, not by making the muscles bigger, but by training your brain.
But mostly only for muscles you don't really use.
Well, yeah, the effect is, yes, more significant with muscles that you don't use. I think more studies are needed on this, to be honest, right? You know, to kind of figure out more how all of this works. And I think people that are, you know, kind of talking about this study tend to be sort of fitness influencers, people who are talking about it from the perspective of, oh, you can get stronger just by thinking about it. Look what your brain can do to your body, mind over matter. But realistically, the more, the truth is more interesting, as it almost always is. The truth here is that your brain engaging muscles properly has quite an impact on strength. So your muscles don't get bigger, but you get better using the muscles that you do have, right? Like, it's like, you know, you can put a, like, God, I was about to reference Top Gear and I'm gonna do it. You can put a celebrity in a reasonably priced car and they'll, you know, maybe not do a great job of getting around the track, but you put the Stig in that same car and he's gonna do an excellent job of getting around the track. Is that a reference that people will get?
Yeah, so in this case, the Stig is a brain that has practiced using muscles. And the celebrity is a stupid, uninitiated brain that's not very good at using its muscles.
So the celebrity is a celebrity then? Oh, got him.
Some celebrities might be able to use their muscles. I don't know.
It's all show muscles, Luke. It's all glamour muscles.
True.
I'll tell you that.
And it does actually make it more, even more ridiculous to just have big muscles, because it's like, well, you might be big muscles, but can you use those muscles?
That's true. We can bench more than Hugh Jackman, right? Because we have sleeper builds.
Yeah, yeah, hidden under this mediocre exterior.
This dad bod and podcast
is a swole sir.
Yeah, there's some more they talk about, but it looks like the words are too big, so I don't want to read it out. But the takeaway from this is that, you can think yourself stronger. You genuinely can think yourself stronger by training your brain to engage muscle groups, right? Because it's the same for anything, right? Like, I mean, if you sort of play, this could work for, say, playing guitar, I suppose. Like, I mean, I think I've seen other studies here and there that looked at, it was basketball, I think. Now, I didn't read this study fully. I looked at a BBC thing, so grain of salt, right? But you know, it was something about free throws, and you could get better at doing free throws without picking up a basketball and just thinking about sort of engaging the muscles in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like major news, but again, this study, I think, was from 1992, or sorry, this study was maybe from 2004, but another one was from 1992. And so this information has been floating around since the 90s. And it was stuff that my personal trainer was sort of telling me, not necessarily in as many words, but this is stuff that people already know, right? If you know your stuff, you know this, that the mental aspect of training is very important alongside the physical aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't matter how big your bloody muscles are. If you don't know how to engage them properly, you're not going to be as strong. That's one of the reasons that you see, or you might have heard, you know, there's those people that do not the sort of strength training, like just lifting weights in the sort of like, you know, squats and deadlifts and bench press and all of that. But people that use sort of more real world strength, let's say, right? They train their bodies by
running.
Running. Well, not running necessarily, but yeah, running's part of it, but like lifting things in a way that you would in the real world rather right. than a much more controlled sort of...
Like me lifting my baby.
Yes, but I'm talking about people that like lift much heavier things than your awful, awful child. The weight on your soul, huge.
Yeah.
But the weight on your arms, much smaller, right? That's flip that around. And
well,
that's
what I do
I'm
is I visualize
about.
That she's a rhino whilst I do it, and then it's fine.
See, a rhino is at least interesting, but no. But yeah, so that's one of those reasons that you can kind of perhaps see people who aren't necessarily as big as someone who goes to the gym, right? But are potentially stronger because they are more able to use their muscles in all of these sort of different ways, right?
Yeah.
They train themselves to use their muscles outside of those very specific, very regimented movements.
It's
right?
kind of funny to think of somebody having massive muscles but not being very good at using them. Like they're in like a kind of Megatron outfit, but they've literally never used it before. So they're just sort of like, they look all big and hard and blah, but actually then they try and like do anything and they're just clumsy and they just knock everything over and... yeah, it's sort of embarrassing, isn't it, really?
That would be me. That would be me if I were jacked. Like, I'd be knocking stuff over. I'd be the worst.
Well, but it's also like being a teenager when you just start getting bigger and you don't really, you're not used to your body and you just sort of knock into everything. And was that just me?
No. You're so right. Like, you know, your legs have grown, but your arms haven't grown with them. Like, you've got some people looking like bloody gorillas with their knuckles dragging on the ground.
But in their head, they're still a baby. Like...
exactly.
And you're still there because you keep walking into doors and shit. You just still have, you're still a teenager.
Look, again... The doors are the problem, Luke, okay? The doors are the problem. But that is more or less the end of the episode. Luke, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Just that I initially, like I said, I think I said this earlier, but I always thought this was like about growing your actual muscle.
Too late, time's up. It's the end of the show, Luke. I'm sorry, you got to get in there quicker. I gave you the time. I gave you some time, but you didn't use it effectively.
So
that is all... from us, but before we
are you
go,
leaving that whole thing in?
Well, now I have to because you just called it out in the middle of my bloody outro.
That was genuine.
That is
like
all from us. Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producers Rev Lunar, Glitch Rabbit, and Cody Miller. And thank you for watching and listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not check out SciGuysPod.co.uk?
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
UK. You can follow me at Not Corey everywhere.
You can follow me to the asylum where I'm going to go now after that horrible experience.
And you can follow both of us to the Patreon once Luke's out of the asylum, because that's where we're going now.
For my therapy session.
You can hit the asylum up once we've got the money, all right? Cash first, mental health later. That's how it works here. Goodbye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.